And thank all of you so much for singing, and thank y'all in the congregation for singing too. I want to invite you into the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 23. We're going to begin at verse 44, continue through 47. I'm going to be reading from a translation of the Bible. It's called the New Revised Standard Version. It's an updated edition, and you'll find on the screen, you'll find the scripture there as well. But Luke chapter 23, starting at verse 44. "And it was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two, then Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, 'Father, into your hands I commend my spirit.' Having said this, he breathed his last. And when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, 'Certainly this man was innocent.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we are grateful. We're grateful for the many words that you speak into our lives. We're grateful, Lord, even on this day, for the words that we're able to sing together, for the prayers that we are able to lift up. But especially for these words, Lord. These are words that have been spoken to us. We pray and ask that you may give us hearts so that we may receive these words. We pray, Lord, that you may give us eyes so that we may see them, ears so that we may understand what you are speaking to us in the power of your Holy Spirit. And I thank you, O God, for the words that you have spoken into my heart. And I pray that in the words that I share today, there will be words that are pleasing, and that there will be words that are acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, and the one who saves us. Amen. Well, we are, as our children were reminding us, we are in this season of 40 days. You know, one of the things that it's been said is that the thing that we give attention to, that is those very things that surround us, that are around us at times, that what we give our attention to, those are the things that grow in our lives, that what captures our attention, those are the things that grow. And over these next 40 days in this season of Lent, again, as our children were extraordinarily specific about what they knew about this time period that we're into right now, I would like for us to give some attention to prayer, to give even more so than just giving our attention to prayer in a general way, but the way that prayer is formed and the way that prayer is expressed here at Grace Point, you see it from me. You see very clearly that when I invite our children in worship to come down to that pew or wherever we find ourselves in, you'll see that one of the things about it is that one of the things that I give so much attention to is the time that we spend together in prayer. And you know, and you'll hear me. You don't have to listen to very many of the children's moments that I'm going to do, but you're going to hear a phrase that's repeated over and over and over and over again, that prayer is talking to God. I'm going to say that all the time. And the reason being is because I want them to know this. I want them to know that they have an opportunity to talk to God. That it is that the kind of relationship that we're asking them to live into, the kind of relationship that we have inviting them to experience through Jesus, that it does come through talking to God. So you'll hear me. Like I said, you may get tired of hearing me say that, but that's one of the things that I say over and over to our children, but also those gestures that they were doing just this morning as they gathered at the altar, bowing your head, closing your eyes, folding your hands. I want them to also not only know that it's talking to God, but I also want them to experience it. You know, to have those actions of bowing their heads, closing their eyes, folding their hands, and reminding them that for the rest of their lives, that they have an opportunity to talk to God, but also by bowing their heads, by closing their eyes, by folding their hands, to know what that feels like, to know what it feels like when you're in that moment of prayer, but also to know, no matter what you're doing, for the rest of their lives, that this is something that they have. Now, I would love to say that because I'm a really good preacher, because I'm a really good pastor, that this is something that I've come up with, but it is not. This is not my idea. This goes all the way into just a couple of centuries after the resurrection of Jesus, when the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the Thessalonians, and the Apostle Paul encourages the Thessalonians. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, but he encourages them to pray without ceasing. And that's what I want our children to know, that they can always pray, that they can do this throughout their lives. And there's a few reasons for that, because even if they're distracted, I want them to know that they can pray. Even if they forget about God, if they forget about Jesus. Now, you could never imagine a child doing that, right? That they would forget about God or Jesus or even our church. But even if they forget about that and they say, oh yeah, God's part of this world. Oh yeah, there's a church. Then they can pray there. But also, even when they find themselves, and this is challenging for us as adults too sometimes, but even if they find themselves too hurt or too upset, to know that they can pray. Always have an opportunity to communicate with God. Again, not my idea. This is formed out of even the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament. Psalm 139 says, wonderful words. Psalm 139, verse 7 through 10 says this, where can I go, as the psalmist is praying? Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend all the way into heaven, you are there, God. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there too, in the place of hell, the place of death. If I take wings of the morning and dwell in the innermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall not hold me. So again, knowing that no matter where they find themselves at, that they can talk to God. But you know what is great about prayer? And the experiences that not only our children now have, but even the experiences that we have had as children. What is great about that, as we grow and as we develop, and particularly as our spiritual lives grow, and as we mature into adulthood, there's something else that we begin to crave in prayer. There's something else that begins to touch our hearts in prayer. Think about sports, and it's not too early to use a baseball metaphor, is it? Well, think about spring training with baseball. As a three-year-old, you can pick up a bat and you can swing that bat, right? And occasionally at three, four, five, you can make contact with that. Every parent in the world wants a three-year-old to make contact every single time, but it just doesn't happen. But you can do it. Occasionally, you can pick up that bat and you can make contact. Same thing at 23. Same thing at even 73, that you can pick up a bat, you can swing it, you can make contact with the ball. However, as you grow and as you mature, at 23, you begin to, well, even well before that, but you recognize that that ball can curve when it's coming across the plate. You recognize that it can break as it's coming across that plate. And again, this idea comes out of Scripture. The Apostle Paul, again, writing to the 1 Corinthians, will say this, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but when I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Do you know where prayer takes you when you put away childish things? Do you know the kind of experience that you can have in communicating with God, talking to God? Do you know where prayer can take you when you put away childish things? It's like leaving the shallow end of the swimming pool and swimming in the deep end. What about those words that we have lifted up this morning from the Gospel of Luke and the New Testament? What about those words that Jesus speaks and says, into your hands I commend my spirit? And just in case you were missing those words in a wonderful offering that that our worship team gave us this morning, you heard that same idea sung this morning. But into your hands I commend my spirit. Where do we hear these words come from? The words on the cross, right? Jesus is clearly on the cross and says, "Into your hands I commend my spirit." These are part of the seven last words of Jesus. And when you hear these words, how many of you are thinking about this in Luke chapter 23, verse 40 says, how many of you are saying, well, these are end of life words. These are words that happen at the end of Jesus' life. Well, they are. The end of life words that Jesus offers, they're part of those seven last words that Jesus speaks from the cross. They are when Jesus offers these words, "Into your hands I commend my spirit." That is when Jesus dies on the cross. But yet, over and over in the life that Jesus lived on this earth, Jesus is inviting us to embrace this kind of life. This kind of life that says, "Into your hands do I commend my spirit." Long before we reach the end of our lives here on earth. In fact, Jesus is on a mission in his life to center his life and also the life of his disciples, his friends around God. Do you know that verse that's so easy to miss, but do you know that verse that Jesus will offer early in the Gospel of Luke that where Jesus will speak this and says, "Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" No, that's when Jesus himself was a child. This is Luke chapter 2, it's verse 49, and Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, they're looking for him. He says, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? This is the orientation that Jesus expresses throughout his entire life, that I must be about God's business, that I must be about the business that God has sent me to. In fact, Jesus will invite his own followers, his own disciples. This is in Matthew chapter 16, 24 through 26. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any of you wish to come after me," and you may start to fill in these words, "if any of you wish to come after me, let them deny themselves. Let them take up their cross. Let them follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake, they will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life?" Imagine your prayer life. Imagine starting today that as we move closer and closer to Easter, imagine if we gave our attention to our own prayer life, and imagine if we were following Jesus and we stopped trying to save our own lives. Imagine a prayer life that moved out of this idea that Jesus expresses on the cross, "Into your hands do I commend my spirit." And imagine if we were able to discover this kind of prayer life, not occasionally, not just hit or miss, but as an ongoing part of our own spiritual formation, grounded in this life of prayer, this way of life in prayer. Where your spirit is when you find yourselves in prayer, where your spirit is in the hands of God. How beautiful is that image to imagine that our own spirits are in the hands of God when we come in prayer. This is the vision that I invite you to imagine over these 40 days of prayer here at Grace Point. This is what I'm thinking about as the Grace Point way of prayer, is to imagine our own spirits being in the hands of God when we pray. And this is the part that I want us to really grow into, to really give our full attention to in these 40 days. Now the strategy or the steps to get there, it's not as difficult are complicated as it may at first seem. In fact, the strategy for this kind of prayer is grounded in Jesus' own call to come follow me. Those words of Matthew 16, 24 through 26. It does mean that there is a part of us. It does mean that there is a part of us where it is self-denial, a part of dying to our own selves. It's going to be recognizing that there are some limits to what is happening inside of our own lives and inside of our own bodies. It does mean that we will take up a cross. Not only remember that Jesus took on his cross, but taking up our own cross, and it also means we're doing that step by step, following Jesus. So how do we get started? How is it possible to get started in this place of, "Into your hands do I commend my spirit"? Well, that's the vision. But the strategy in three steps is taking away your own time. Taking away what we seem to value so much and hold on to so tightly in our own lives is that our own time, and taking time and setting it apart to spend time in the presence of God in prayer. Again, with that vision of being in the presence of God for no other reason but to allow God's, to allow our own spirit to be in God's hands in this moment. It may mean reflecting on the cross. Now that may start with Jesus, but also recognizing what is that cross that is a part of my life. And clearly just being in a place where we're able to do what Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know I am God. And I will tell you, that was a challenge for me. Well, it's still a challenge for me. I've gotten slightly better in the past. And when I say a challenge, let's go back 3 years. That idea of sitting in the stillness of God, it was something that I started about 3 years ago and still am working on. But being able to be in that place of saying, where is God in this stillness? Where is God in this silence? And that's being able to follow. And quite easily, because we have it in front of us, following these 40 days in this season that we call Lent, but also these 40 days of a season that we're thinking about and giving our whole attention to, of praying together as we discover, what does prayer look like in the Grace Point way? What does prayer look like when our focus and our attention, as we come to God in prayer, is to say, God, I'm in your hands, and I am giving you my whole spirit in this moment in prayer. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. As simple as talking to you is, oh God, you invite us at times to put away childish things, and you invite us, Lord, to grow and to mature. And just as we have seen Jesus on the cross, Lord, offering his whole spirit and his whole life into your hands, and in fact throughout his life, placing you at the very center of his life and the life of those that were around him, we pray and ask, Lord, that on this day, that you will be at the center of our heart and our life together here at Grace Point. We pray for every other church, Lord, that is beginning this season and this journey of Lent and is including prayer in their own lives. We pray, O Lord, that you may richly bless them over this time and over this period. And for us, we pray and ask that you may lead us, that you may offer us opportunities so that we can find our own spirit in the hands of God in prayer. Lord, I thank you for the many people that are praying in this building. I thank you for the many people in our neighborhood and in our community that are praying, Lord, not only for their own lives, for their own friends, but they're even praying for us and lifting us up. Lord, as we journey together in 40 days of prayer, we pray and ask that for each and every one of our lives, that you will give us enough courage, Lord, to put our very spirits, our whole lives, into your hands each time we meet you in prayer. For this, we pray and we ask together, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.